The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Part of the Answer, the show that gives you a peek into the minds of some of Chicagoland's best and brightest business, community, and political leaders. You'll hear the success stories behind their organizations and hear their vision for impacting Chicagoland and Illinois. No sound bites, no spin, just an authentic conversation about how they're making a difference in their community through their organization. Now, here's your host, Mike Scott.
We're so glad you're with us. Hello and welcome to Part of the Answer on AM 560, The Answer. I'm Mike Scott. This is a show designed to bring you inside the minds of some of those wonderful partners we have here on AM 560, The Answer. Those who partnered with us to bring you the opportunity to be part of their business. And the intention is to give you some insight into how they operate, why they chose the way they operate, some of the unique things that they have in their business, and an opportunity for you to learn more so you can interact with that business as part of your daily life. And one of our new friends and one of our new guests here on Part of the Answer and AM 560 is Mario Spina. He operates the Pride Stores and the parent company, actually called Parent Petroleum. And he joins us here on Part of the Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Mario, glad to know you. Glad to meet you finally. And we're glad to make your acquaintance here on Part of the Answer.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it.
And I love some of the ideas that your convenience stores at your stations are getting involved with. They pique my interest. And they go against the grain of what a lot of people think as what you would normally find.
Right.
But let's not start there. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. It's a second-generation company. So this company has been around the Chicago area for a long time, doing what they do and doing it well, starting back about, what, 40 years ago?
Well, the main company that we have now, Parent Petroleum, was started 40 years ago.
Yeah.
My father was self-employed before that for probably a good 15 years with multiple different companies. But Parent Petroleum was started about, like I said, 40 years ago. We're a fuel distributor to Chicagoland market. We supply 400 gas stations throughout the area.
Sure.
We do BP, Shell, Mobil, and this is where we provide operators that own their own gas stations fuel.
Sure.
We also are a lubricants distributor, very large with Castrol. And of the fuel stations that we supply, 17 of them we run direct. And we call those stations the Pride Stores.
Sure.
So,
and I love the idea that when my kids were younger, one of the great joys of their life was being at the gas station when the big truck pulled up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's weird what kids glom onto, but they thought that was the coolest thing, the big tank bringing gas. And the other big thing was when the big tank had something painted on the side, they obviously were carrying that, whether it be milk or soda or something
else,
not gasoline. But let's put my kids aside for the moment and let's talk about why you decided to go to work for your father and then decided to take a break and go back and get some formal higher education in the form of an MBA. Why did you think that was important?
Well, I mean, at first, when I graduated, undergraduate from Illinois State University, I went to work for my dad, and I honestly just really didn't like it. I didn't think it was for me.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just try a different route, and I went to DePaul University and got my MBA.
Yeah.
And I had some job offers after that, after I was completed with the program, and my father got sick. So I came back to the company to help him out while he was going through his recovery, and you know, I thought maybe a year or two I'd stay there and work with them. And then,
sure,
now it's going on, I think, 24, 25 years. But when I came in and I knew I was going to be there for longer than just a short period of time, I really wanted to try and do something different with the gas stations and the convenience stores,
yeah,
kind of put my own spin on it, do something a little different, unique. that people really wouldn't expect when they walk inside a gas station. So that's what I've been trying to do the last, you know, few years.
Yeah. Mario Spina is with us. He is the operator of the Pride stores, 17 locations throughout the Chicago area.
Correct.
And the larger company, Parent Petroleum, who supplies lubricants and gasoline to upwards of 400 to 500 stations in the Chicago area. Couple of things that maybe you pulled from your DePaul MBA that you pulled forward into this. Did you get any idea of what you wanted to do in terms of reshaping the stores from that DePaul MBA? What tactical things did maybe a couple of things that the MBA gave you?
Yeah, I don't know if it was ideas. It's just the one thing that I took from getting my MBA is just really how you think and consider how other businesses operate and how they're run top to down or
sure.
top to bottom. They actually had a program in DePaul where you got to take a the one I liked the best was we got to travel to Australia for eight days during a break.
Sure.
And when we were in Australia, you got to visit other businesses, you got to visit other municipalities and how they operate, larger organizations. And I got to take a couple trips like that, and I thought this is very interesting how other businesses work, how they run.
Yeah.
How are they successful? Like what makes them different? And I really enjoy that aspect of it. I love reading business books and things of that nature, and I started getting into that while I was taking my MBA.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting how different businesses find a niche and then how they work to provide that to customers on a larger basis. And I find it interesting.
Sure. In our final 5 minutes or so here in the first segment, I'm part of The Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Let's talk about that niche for a moment. I find that very interesting. Just the idea that the 17 stations known as the Pride stores throughout Chicagoland aren't your typical convenience store attached to a gas station. They're very diverse. They have everything from in-house taco restaurants
Correct.
To a craft brewery
Right.
inside one of the stores as well, too. That's in St. Charles.
Yes.
You obviously didn't start there when you started your reinvention of the Pride stores and upgrading those centers into much more convenient, wider-ranging stores. But, wow, that's quite unique and very interesting for the entire industry, I think.
Right. You know, it started off at first. So our slogan is not your typical convenience store, and we really take that to heart. At first, it just started off with having higher-end finishes inside the gas stations in terms of nicer flooring, nicer wainscoting.
Yeah. Sure.
And then we started upscaling our coffee programs, and then we started to upscale our grab-and-go selections.
You got me at coffee.
I agree with that as well.
Yeah.
And it kind of started off as that, and then we started thinking, you know, what's the next way we could take it to the next level? And we think food service is a very important offering for convenience stores because it does provide a convenience when you're running around and you need to grab a gallon of milk and maybe you fill up your car. And then if you can get a nice sandwich or burger for dinner, it's great. So our first restaurant concept was Urban Counter. And we do half-pound hand-pressed hamburgers, all the foods made to order, fantastic sandwiches, salads. We do hand-churned milkshakes. It's a really great food concept. It rivals any other quick-service restaurant out there, and our burgers are fantastic. And then we developed a couple other different concepts because we wanted the ability to have customers that might visit multiple locations be able to have different concepts they could visit. So we have Taco Romano, which is a Mexican food concept. We make everything from scratch, including our own salsas and we have a cafe concept where we're doing our paninis and crepes. And we just kept on developing. Now we have our own craft brewery called 93 Octane, which has been fun as well. So it's been a fun development over time trying to kind of push the envelope.
Sure. Can I circle back to something and ask you a question? When you started developing these, you had to have a different sort of conversation with these local communities when you needed, say, hey, we're going to put a restaurant into our gas station. Did you find any difficulty, any pushback from local municipalities, or did they welcome you in?
Most appreciate it, to be honest with you, because it provides another offering to the community. So most actually appreciate it. Sometimes we get more pushback than others on beer and wine licenses and spirits licenses for our locations.
Sure.
We've been pushing in with local municipalities to try and get as many licenses as we can because it's a convenience to our offering. It's a convenience offering for our customers, but our locations, like we go up to over $100 a bottle of wine at our stores.
Right.
We have one station in unincorporated Wheaton that sells 3 cases of wine a day. We do our own barrel picks where it's like one-off bourbon selections, and we do and we carry it at all of our stores. We've done Knob Creek, Maker's Mark, Journeyman, Traverse City. We've done some great distilleries that we've worked
sure.
with. And attached to our brewery in St. Charles is actually our – we call it the Pride Beer and Wine Plus Spirits. It's our liquor store offering. And we go up to $600 a bottle of wine in that location as well.
Wow.
So we have a really diverse selection when people come in of not only higher-end wine, spirits, food, whatever you might be looking for, we usually have it. So
tell me a little bit about the function of your business here in the last couple of minutes. Do you divide your company up into segments, or is it a top-down company that where your decisions impact everything? It's not siloed per se. It's wide and deep versus being narrow.
So we pretty much operate the distribution company, which is the fuel and the lubes. Pretty much it's all one company but separate.
That's
so
separate.
I primarily concentrate on running our retail operations, which is the gas stations, the
sure.
restaurants, and the brewery.
Yeah.
We also have a real estate development company where we just – handle all of our own real estate. We buy, sell, lease, general contract, all of our own properties.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, and so we do that as well on the side. And then I actually have Ryan Fueling runs our fuel distribution company. He started with us about 4 or 5 years ago and then bought into the company as well recently. And he's primarily concentrating on just the fuel and lubes distribution.
So you really don't have to vertically integrate because they really can operate separately.
Yeah, they operate separate, but they're very intertwined.
Yeah.
And it is still one company. But.
Sure. Just want to let everybody know that if you're interested in, for example, what they carry in terms of grab-and-go sandwiches, craft sodas, cold brew, yes, we talked about barrel picks, bourbon and rye, beer and wine, PrideStores.com. PrideStores.com.
ThePrideStores.com.
ThePrideStores.com. You are correct. ThePrideStores.com. Convenience stores, their gas stations, their restaurants, breweries. It's quite amazing. And when we come back in our second segment here on AM 560, The Answer, we'll talk more on part of The Answer into production facilities, research into the marketplace, why the real estate development company is so important, and more with Mario Spina. He is our guest on part of The Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
We now return to Part of the Answer on AM 560, The Answer, with your host, Mike Scott.
Thank you for joining us on Part of the Answer on AM 560, The Answer. We're so glad you're with us. And again, Part of the Answer introduces you to people that we consider friends, family, partners here on AM 560, people that have invested in us. And Part of the Answer is a way that we can invest in them and you by allowing you to hear directly from their voice what makes their business tick, why you should get involved in that business. And one of those businesses is the Pride Stores at thepridestores.com, thepridestores.com. And Mario Spina is here. Mario, we're so glad you're with us. I want to drill down just a little bit into how you decided that at one of your very diverse 17 locations around the area, you decided to go with a craft brewery concept in St. Charles. Tell me a little bit about the thinking going into that operation and why you thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, it was interesting conversations when we were thinking about doing it, to say the least, but we own a station in St. Charles that does very well. The problem is it's a very small convenience store, and there's pumps on either side. There's no way to expand the building.
Oh, right.
So what we did is we purchased a lot next door. It was actually a car wash, and we knocked it down, and we built a 5,000-square-foot building there. And we put our Urban Counter restaurant on one end, and in the middle we put our liquor store, which we called the Pride Beer and Wine Plus Spirits, and we left the end open. We weren't sure what to do with it. And we sell a lot of local craft beer. We go heavy local as much as we can. Our
some
wine
of the
selections.
Brands.
Yes.
What do you serve? What comes in?
For the ones that we resell.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we do Penrose. We do Pipeworks.
Is that right?
Good. We sell Solemn Oath. I mean, all the big craft brewers in the area, we sell them.
Sure.
So we try to go heavy local in each location we can.
Yeah.
But sometimes it gets a little hard, and some locations just don't sell craft beer. But if the ones that do, we try to push heavy as much as possible.
Very good.
So, you know, my cousin actually, who works for me, is our head buyer for the Pride Stores. Actually, owns a distillery up north. And he's into craft beer as well. He's got a real good wine palate also, but he's really into craft beer. And we were just joking around about it. I'm like, you know, we got this 1,000 square feet there. We could do a real small craft brewery and make our own beers and just kind of get into a few accounts, concentrate on trying to get a unique selection to our Pride Stores. And then when we went in there, it just evolved. And we brought in his name's Alec Murkowski. He's our head brewer. He was the head brewer at Two Brothers for 5 years.
Sure.
And he came on, and he kills it. He makes some awesome brews. And so we expanded the tap room once, added more outdoor seating, more indoor seating, added more brew house space as much as we could.
Yeah.
And now we're at a point where we just can't turn beers quick enough because we don't have the tank space. So we're building a new production facility right now in Warrenville. It's going to be 6,000 square feet. And it's just straight production of beer. And we're actually just had the equipment delivered last Thursday. So it's
Is that
gonna,
right?
Yeah. So when that happens, we're really going to gear up. We're hoping you'll see 93 octane beer everywhere. And we're in about 200, 250 accounts right now. But we have real limited tank space and real limited capacity currently. And the new facility will immediately get us 10 times the capacity we have now. So it's really evolved over time. It was going to first just be like a little niche thing to make some really high-end beers, small production, and now it's kind of gotten to the point where we're really gearing it up and trying to get into as many locations as we can. So,
you know, the craft brew story is a little bit, not totally similar, but it's a little bit similar to the way you've revolutionized the Pride Stores.
Pushing the envelope.
Pushing the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started doing our own food concepts, people thought we were nuts.
Yeah.
Because everyone would do Dunkin' Donuts or Subways, which is fine. But we wanted to do something different, something higher end, you know, get the best value for your buck on food in terms of quality and price. And so we've always kind of been pushing the envelope to try and see what we could do next level. And the brewery was kind of really taking it to a probably an extreme level, to be honest with you, but it's been a lot of fun. We make some really great beers. It's been fun.
It's gone from more of a passion project to, from my perspective, to something that you see as sort of intrinsic to the brand of the Pride Stores.
Yes.
We're always looking to serve the customer in a different way, it seems.
Right. Yeah, and it really is in a unique way. And what we also like about this segment, too, is we have very all of our different businesses kind of do intertwine, but they're all different.
Sure.
So if the fuel or distribution side is a little slow at times, or if the C-store side is a little slow at times, then we do have the craft brewery, or we have a real estate development that has, you know, we have a 50,000 square foot retail center in St. Charles. We have another retail center in Carroll Stream. Mm-hmm. We have another one in Palatine. So if one other business segment is not performing well at the time, we have other ones that can kind of step in, and they're still all kind of intertwined.
Sure.
So what we like about the brewery business is if we can get this to the point where it really is cranking, it's just a nice revenue stream for us that'll offset any other businesses that might be struggling during a certain period.
Sure. So, have you run into any roadblocks through government regulation or
yes.
Okay, that was a quick answer. And there's a story behind that, but
right.
How do you overcome that as a small to medium-sized businessman with quite a large portfolio and a good footprint here in the Chicago area and the surrounding suburbs and all the way out into the five-collar counties? How do you deal with that?
Well, it's difficult. The advantage we have is we've been able to get some properties approved through planning and zoning and built that a lot of people never thought a gas station would be able to be accomplished, which has been fun. We opened up one just in St. Charles on Kirk and Main that just opened last year. It was a project, took about 5 years to do planning and zoning work, permitting work, and it was a long, long process. And the advantage we have is we have a decent portfolio where we can show municipalities like, hey, listen, I'm like, all right, I know there's an image out there of what gas stations are, and we're not that. And if you go to look at our locations,
right.
Like we have very high end looking stores. They're maintained, they're kept clean.
Yeah.
We have really great products inside the stores. We have our own food offerings that is unique to the area. We also bring in a great selection of beer, wine, and spirits, like we were saying. Mm-hmm. And also too, we have a commissary in Warrenville where we brew our own craft sodas that we have on draft at about 9 stores. We have our own nitro coffee and cold brew on draft, and we make our own cold brew and nitro coffee in-house.
Nice.
We make our own grab-and-go selections in-house and self-distribute them. Yeah. So a lot of the offers we have are unique. It's not just like a cookie-cutter type situation. And luckily, we're pretty spread out decently that we can say if we go to a municipality, like, hey, go to this location. Here's some pictures. Yeah. Here's the address. And that's helped open up some eyes to some cities that wouldn't want to consider a gas station typically. So it's been good to have kind of like a proof in the pudding,
yeah,
to show people when we're going through that process.
Well, I have to ask because I only recently have gone this direction, so you'll have to excuse my naivete when it comes to bourbon. Bourbon or rye?
I usually prefer bourbon, but I do like rye. Sometimes I like my rye with my old fashions. It's actually going to be fun too for the when we finish the production facility for the brewery, we're going
right.
to be adding some more seats in our tap room because we're going to put a smaller brew house there. We're still going to brew, but it's going to be like about a third the size, more small batch stuff and things of that nature. But when we do that, we're going to start doing bourbon pours there of our barrel picks inside the tap room.
Yeah,
we'll do old fashions, and then we're going to have some mixed drinks, and I'm really excited for that. But the funny thing is I got into bourbon because of my cousin Chris, who works for me and runs the purchasing side. And he's a big bourbon nut, craft beer nut and a bourbon nut. And he really got me into the bourbons. And what's cool about the barrel picks is they come out and like a distillery will say like Remus, we just did a pick with, and they'll be, all right, here's 8 different samples of 8 different barrels. Which one do you like?
Right.
And then you pick that one barrel. They give you the barrel. They label all the bottles, their label with your name on it.
Right.
And so you really get to try a diverse selection of offerings. We did an Elijah Craig barrel proof, and we got to go down to Kentucky, and we got to go in the Rick House, and we sampled.
Really?
We sampled the bourbon right inside the Rick House. It was an awesome experience. So it's been pretty cool, but I like rye as well. I drink bourbon more, but I do like rye.
Sure. The experience to me brings a lot to the table when you're trying to motivate a business to move from the square you're on to the next square, and having unique individual experiences in your business life helps you see a vision for where you might be able to expand, where you might be able to go. And
definitely.
I think that impacts your decision-making as a business leader. At least I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes on. You know, a lot of times it's not all about what you like as an individual, but obviously you're a customer too.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people need to realize when you walk into a store, what do you like, what do you don't like?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times when we got our inspiration for remodeling the stores initially, when that was the first step that we did, because I always thought people, before we did food service, you have to remodel your stores and make them look nice because people eat with their eyes. So if the store doesn't look nice, it's not maintained or well kept, they're not going to even try the food more than likely. And you also have the stigma of being in a gas station, which doesn't help as well. So, but a lot of the inspiration, I'd go to Starbucks and I'd see all the way the Starbucks are modeled.
Right.
I'd get a lot of inspiration from them. I mean, I would go into like higher end shops, higher end restaurants and just see, you know, how are they laying out the location, what materials are they using. Anytime we build a store, I pick out all the interior materials and exterior materials myself.
Yeah.
I actually do AutoCAD, so I actually draw the site plans and draw the floor plans myself as well.
Wow.
Because I just like to have it a different feel than what most people would do if they hired just a regular architect. So, it's a fun process. But, I mean, people got to remember, you're a customer also. So you'll see what you like and you don't like as well. And I try to incorporate that in our stores.
We really don't have time to get into the SEMA Developers, the real estate company that not only buys and sells and leases, but you do your own property management as well, too.
Right.
We'll save that for another time because that's a whole segment to itself.
Yeah, that's a different beast.
That is. Mm. You're right. Mario Spina is the voice you heard. He's with us from the Pride Stores and the parent petroleum company, convenience stores, gas stations, restaurants, fuel and lubrication. Lubrication of a different kind, a brewery, and craft sodas and coffee and beer. And I can't tell you how fun it was to get to know you and to talk about the Pride Stores here on Part of the Answer on AM 560 The Answer.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate being here. And hopefully everyone will hear this interview, come by and check out one of the stores. So.
Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.